in town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
That's right, the podcast for the people, by the people.
If you hear a little buzz in the background, I don't know, we'll just have to see how this one comes out.
Yeah.
So we got a new fan in the studio because it's freaking, what is it outside now, 90?
Oh, I mean, it was getting close 98? To that. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, this is your prototypical end of the bedroom room to the house that
right.
faces that
right.
southern sun.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
baking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully that fan holds up, but we'll see. Maybe we're going to have to get rid of it and send a letter to Mr. Dyson.
Yeah, I was told like completely quiet.
That's what they said, but yeah. they were wrong.
They lie.
I can't believe an infomercial led me astray.
See, if Dyson came to us and were like, hey, we want to sponsor the Common Folk Podcast. We got the quietest fans on the market. Mm-hmm. Our fans don't even make noise.
Yeah.
I would be like, okay, let me check it out.
Let's check it out.
And then we wouldn't allow them.
We'd have to turn that one down. Well, so far, maybe we don't have the right, but you guys looked into it, didn't you?
Yeah.
The fan?
Yeah.
I mean, they sell a few of them, but...
You didn't get the knockoff.
I mean, no, that stupid thing's $400.
Oh, you got that one?
Yeah.
I thought there was like a $200 one.
Yeah.
Okay, you went all in. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Not only is it giving you a little breeze, it's also making your air super clean.
Yeah. Oh, oh. Wow. It has a filter thing.
Apparently.
That's a lie. You just made that up.
That's what they said.
Yeah. It feels nice when it does oscillate this way. Yeah. I will say that.
Why are you the only one that has a koozie?
Hopefully it's not screwing.
You didn't even give our guests koozies?
Hopefully it's not screwing anybody's noise.
Rude.
The koozie. Oh, yeah. You should have this.
Gal. I mean, come on.
You can take that home with you.
There we go. For a merch company, I think I should have a koozie.
For sure. For sure.
Speaking of that, you hardly ever even use koozies.
Yeah, I do. I don't.
Don't you find that some people are big on koozies?
I am.
Like, we go to the neighbors, and they're instant, here's a koozie, like, which is very nice for, you know, to give to your guests.
Right.
I don't think we do that when people come to our house. We're not big koozie people. Yeah. Are you, Andy?
I'm a big koozie guy.
Okay.
I think it's fun.
Wait, is it why, though? Like,
yeah.
why do you actually choose that?
If nothing else, it's a fun little story type of thing. Mm. You know, when people used to put stamps yeah. on like yeah. dollar bills and you could like look it up like, oh my God, this is in Louisiana last week, you know. Mm-hmm.
So you like to
I do.
Pick the koozie
well,
that means something to you that day?
Whatever comes up. So like a wedding from 18 years ago. Oh my God, they got divorced twice. Remember these guys? It was still a fun wedding. But you know, it's a story starter. You know, it's kind of fun.
We knew it at the time, but
yeah.
they went through anyway.
I told them not to.
It just made me think of it with you having the koozie. I'm like, maybe we need to get better about that.
The only reason I like koozies, like today's koozies, is they just give you a better grip.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever, because
yeah.
that's the thin like neoprene ones.
Yeah, they're good on a bottle too.
So this one that he has over here that folks can see in the video, this is the old school foam thick, probably isn't fitting in your cup holder. Shouldn't matter anyway, because why would you ever put your beer down? So just keep getting after it, right?
No, I told you what I use those for, and I'll tell you again, because we scheduled it. We're going to Canada. Next year, we're doing it, period. Mm-hmm, family fishing trips back on.
That'd be awesome.
And we go up there, and we rent the crappiest boats at this little resort, and we're pretty rough on them, you know, but that's why they're rentals.
sure,
and,
those rental companies.
All there is like benches across it, right? It's just a deep V,
mm-hmm.
and so you need that to put on the bench so your beer doesn't spill over. Because you can't fish.
It gives some stability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it keeps your beer cold. Like, it's Canada. It's either cold or it's really, really hot. Either way, I want a koozie.
And
I don't want my beers.
Float well, too.
Exactly. Yeah. They're a catastrophic event. You'll still save your beer.
By the way, if folks want one of those koozies.
Where could they go?
At farmfocused.com. And you can use the code COMMONFOLK.
Mm.
You get 20% off of that dang koozie.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Which ends up being big money. You know?
It does. It does.
It's important.
Well,
so what are we doing?
Make sure you have some in stock before.
We got plenty. Sure. We got plenty. You can have as many as you want.
No, you heard him there. We got Kyle Lechtenberg back in the fold. Kyle, you're kind of a versatile guy. You do a number of things.
As Corey said last week, he's also a repeat offender.
Yes.
On the podcast.
Yeah, we're getting these people to get back on. Back on the pod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, it's fun, and I want to catch up with Kyle. We're going to go to a ball game here later tonight, so that'll be good. And with you being so involved and kind of having your ear to the tracks, you know, I think you've seen for a long time, this is the perspective I want to look at it. You used to be able to find an umpire for a little league game, referees for a weekend basketball tournament, mm-hmm. you know, at the YMCA or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not the case anymore. You got to pull teeth to get guys to volunteer for it. And then a lot of times you got to just pony up and pay them. And I feel that sometimes when you pay these refs, it puts them even in a tougher spot, because now parents have that ammunition, like, oh my god, he's making $40 a game and he can't even call that or see that, mm-hmm. you know, it's like mm-hmm. And I feel like it just makes the situation worse.
So the topic is, in general, volunteerism,
yeah,
which I think we'll get into a couple of different categories, yeah. but also the sports thing. I mean, that's a big
right
part, yeah. where it shows its face.
It does. It's not like the only, front lines,
yeah, not only with referees and umpires and officials, but with coaches.
Yep, coaches, assistant coaches. You usually have a few high school kids, like our little coach pitch league. We had mm-hmm. high school kids umpire and kind of get the fields ready for us. It's tough to find these guys.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I think maybe a good place to start with, just to kind of get all the listeners on the same page. Kyle, what qualifies you to talk about this topic? Like what? What have you done in your life? Probably a lot of things that a lot of other folks like us have, which means we're all in the thick of it. But what do you have going on?
Well, I think from a parent's, I probably start looking at this objectively mm-hmm. from a yeah. parent's perspective, because now we have four kids, 13, 11, 11, and 8. And I'll just tell a little bit about my story with volunteering, kind of working from where we are today to backwards. We're a sports family. We enjoy that. And a coaching family in general. I come from a line of teachers and coaches and agriculturalists. And so I think from the coaching, I just wanted to be part of my kids' life, mm-hmm. basically. One per season. So I always look at things in systems or processes, and I'm like, okay, I got four kids. There's four seasons in Nebraska. I'm going to coach each kid one season. So this is my story. I'm not telling anyone else how to do this.
Well, your story is going to be good. A lot of other people's story as well, really. I mean,
right. You kind of try to balance that life versus involvement mm-hmm. and just bringing it up today. My son has a ball game tonight that I'm choosing to miss for the College World Series. Mm-hmm. And just so you all know, I'm okay with that. I can sleep at night. I'm going to miss one game for his whole season. Right. He's going to live. I'm going to live.
Yeah.
And that could go down another route of kind of being able to take care of yourself professionally mm-hmm. and personally mm-hmm. as well, and not giving you everything you have to your kids and not protecting your own health. And so kind of back to that, I started volunteering with baseball. That seems to be where we start the youngest. And so a couple years ago, started out with T-ball. And now I do coach pitch with my youngest. I do basketball in the winter with my twin girl. And then I do my oldest, she's actually grown into being an agriculturalist. She's not really into sports. And so I'm kind of designating spring for that, because there's spring's kind of that we don't really do any track clubs, and there is spring baseball and there's some other stuff going on. But, and then my other son does football in the fall. So that's kind of how it's angling. And it is hard. I mean, as you guys are all parents, and you know, when you know, it's just that law of exchange. If you put your time into one area, you're giving up mm-hmm. other areas. And volunteering for coaching is probably easier than volunteering for umping mm-hmm. or reffing. One thing I do try to do is Always thank the umps, thank the refs. Mm-hmm. I don't always get that done, but even if there's some conflict, and probably even more so if there is conflict in a game, I'll almost try to make it a point to find that ump after the game and just tell him thank you so he can leave the night feeling a little bit better about himself, even if paid or not. Yeah, I think anymore you about have to pay umps and refs.
Yeah.
Coaches, there's usually enough parents that'll fill in and help and and do that. But I think that's one layer. This has got a lot of layers to it as far as volunteerism. I got brought up kind of inadvertently through the FFA program. And then ultimately, as a young professional, early marriage, we had one kid, a guy by the name of Clark Kennison out of Norfolk. You guys probably wouldn't know that name. He retired shortly after. He recommended for my wife Tiffany and I to go to a local Farm Bureau meeting, and at the time I was willing to go, but kind of at the same time, like, why? Didn't know what the reason was. And he started talking to me about politics, which I generally enjoy, and so, and all the benefits around advocating and helping, and ultimately they have a lobbying arm that can help with some of that. And so that drew me. That was enough value to get me to volunteer to go to those meetings and start becoming involved. And so through that organization, we actually became state young farmer advocates. And then even at the American Farm Bureau level, we started volunteering for that. And then as some of that went on, we did get some compensation for, and not really paid. You just kind of got reimbursed for things. But it, so that was one thing. And now we're at a stage of our life, we're trying to kind of bring that value back to our community, whether it's coaching or the church or umping or all of those things. And we really, I mean, I would say weekly, we have these kind of family over the kitchen table conversations of like, okay, I've got this going on. You're going to that game. I'm going to this game.
Right.
What about the church benefit? Who's covering that? Oh, we'll both try to do that. You know, and they want you to make something. And I'm, that's an example. It's not a real one into right now. But there is these things that parents get pulled a lot of directions. So I'm a big advocate for saying no and meaning it. And also, if you say yes, make the commitment and do it. And so just like the game tonight, I made a pretty strong yes, I'm going to work from Omaha today. Yes, I'm going to do some meetings. And yes, I'm going to watch the College World Series finale. And that was a little bit of a hard family decision. I mean, I'll just be honest, it was. But I also know from a kid's perspective, we can't have our lives completely revolve around them. I think they do have to understand that at some point, parents got to have the opportunity to be able to take care of themselves in their own way as well. And so,
it's true. That's an interesting avenue you're talking about going down, because you're also making a youngster maybe a little bit more fragile or weak-minded if dad needs to be there every time, you know, like, get out of here. No, this is your team. This is your spot. You know, you got to learn how to deal with that. You know, it's, you're not always going to have everybody in the stands cheering for you, clapping for you.
Yeah.
So, and what I always think of is my Aunt Mary said that as soon as we found out that we were pregnant, you know, Ashley and I, she goes, well, just remember, kids are secondary. You still got to take care of yourself. I'm like, whoa, no one's ever said that. That's not in any book or anything like that. You know what I mean? Or maybe there's some new books.
It does seem so selfish, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like, you have to continue to find some things that you enjoy.
Right.
And then obviously your spouse.
I mean if you're not happy, your kids aren't going to be happy.
Right.
Well, and I think, too, it's kind of like when you're on an airplane, you got to get your own oxygen first before you can help others. And that is, it feels selfish. It can, the shame, you know, you can kind of put that on. It's easy for me to put that on myself. But at times, I know what my body and my health needs. And it's not always a baseball game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about that. But there are certain outlets. And I do agree. Andy brought up a great point there. I think healthy relationships do put a marriage ahead of their kids. I think generally speaking, that's easier to do for a man probably than a woman. I don't know that for certain, but I know in our dynamics that my wife is great about being selfless and putting everything out for the family. And I'm the one kind of pulling for a date here or there, or let's go do something with just us maybe.
Yeah.
And we love doing stuff with our kids, camping or traveling or going to a lake or something. But there is a point where it does – you do have to get your priorities in order. And I agree with that comment you made.
Yeah, I mean, it does – it is important. And that's kind of a – I guess maybe a little bit different subject than what we – originally thought we were going to talk about, but it is an important subject, and I think a lot of people can relate to that. I think in our house, you know, like you talked about in your house, Kyle, or I think ours is a little bit opposite of that. I feel like Morgan is more cognizant of you and me need to go do things, you know, and she reminds me of that. And then when we do, and we go do it, I'm like, yeah,
all right,
we did need to do that. You're right. And then it's made me think more about it, you know.
Yeah.
Even like, you know, you talk about College World Series. Our kid plays baseball as well, plays sports in general, you know, loves it, loves the game, is just a fan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we had got some tickets to the game yesterday, and we only had two tickets. And I was like, well, what about the kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about that afterwards, like, no, that doesn't really matter. Like, they have gone to some games, they're fine, we're just going to go.
Yeah.
And we had a good time.
Yeah.
You know, so focusing on that's important.
Yeah, you got to cut out some time for yourself, right? Yeah, but that goes back to, looking out for old number one and the stigma that has to it. And, you know, tying it back into the volunteerism, it probably does play a role in that in a other way where you're like, well, I've already donated my time for this. I don't need to donate my time for that. Or I already gave so much time to my kids. I don't have time for the church. I don't have time to coach baseball or whatever. So, I don't know. It feels like an evolution of people's priorities, maybe, and how we divvy it up. But I also think there's this, I don't know, elephant in the room of people are a little bit more nasty to volunteers, and it's not as rewarding anymore, or it's not perceived that way.
Well, it's like that with sports for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Even volunteering for a soup kitchen, you know, that used to be a big thing that you'd see a lot, and it still is. But I feel like there's a lot less appreciation now of standing in line, getting that meal. Mm-hmm. Well, the World Herald ran that article a couple of years ago about how all the food banks were running out of food, and it showed a picture of just four or five morbidly obese people picking through. It's like, you see the give and take there. Like, you see four or five really obese people, and now you're complaining about not having enough food.
Mm-hmm.
I think that weighs on people volunteering their time.
And I could be wrong, but I feel like you see it more in smaller communities as far as the volunteerism, the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the different institutions don't exist, you know, to keep certain wheels in motion. So you have to have those volunteers come forward to be able to do all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about like service members, like our military, like we're the only volunteer military in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Basically meaning that like our folks aren't required to participate. They still get paid for it, but
sure,
they do decide like, hey, we're going to go do this. So that's a big deal. And then you look at things like first responders, fire and rescue, and police.
Yep.
I guess there's not really any like true volunteer police departments, right? I mean, but when you look at fire and rescue, that's something that in a lot of these towns is a 100% volunteer effort.
Even some of Nebraska's bigger towns still volunteer fire department, you know? And those, like you said, there's still paid positions in that, but you're given your time, it's still a volunteer spot.
Yeah, and I think there's a big issue right now in a lot of the areas with getting people to do those kinds of things. Whether it be fire and rescue, whether it be, you know, umpiring a local Little League game, or reffing a local soccer game or basketball game, or whatever the case may be, a parent or somebody stepping up to coach the team, you know, coming together to put together the local 4th of July parade.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all the different things that come into it, you know, that everyone has to, that someone has to be there to dedicate their time and their effort for free.
Yeah.
So,
and yeah, but I keep, what's the reason?
Yeah, and I keep hearing people talking about, like, we've got this shortage of volunteers. Like, they're not, we can't get people to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of hearing that with some of the military, too. The military's having some trouble recruiting. In general, like, what is the issue?
I feel like it's time. I do. I feel like when you volunteer, let's just say it's being an ump. Yeah, it's that time, but you gotta think of the drive time back and forth, the time you're missing from your own family. Mm-hmm. It may not be your kid's game. You may not be getting paid for it. You may be, I don't know. I feel like, let's say it is a parade. You gotta organize that. There's time going into that. It's not just the day of.
Right.
To me, I feel like when we see volunteers a lot, at least in our town, maybe it's same with you guys and Andy, same with you guys. It's like the same people always volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
And ones that don't, they're just going to like feed off of the ones that always volunteer. The people that are showing up at school.
Yeah.
The people that are donating for the PTO. All this stuff. And I hate to sound like, ugh, about it, but it seems, I don't know, it seems very repetitive. That's the same. It's always seems like always the same people.
I think you're right about that, but I think to play off of that as well, it is time. I think that's where it begins.
Okay.
Is people have to make that commitment, like, okay, I'm going to put in this much time, I'm going to put in this much effort to do this, and I'm going to sacrifice all these other things for that.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of that, once you do all that and you make that decision, when you're just not appreciated, I guess is really not a better way to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's like, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay, because like people are yelling at you, like you're
as
saying,
a referee,
like
as a coach,
ref. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
you're like,
yeah,
well, this
easy.
Is stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in some of those other roles, like a first responder, as an example, that's not normally an issue.
No,
because everyone appreciates those folks.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of effort and events that go unseen,
mm-hmm.
and unappreciated and so on and so forth, which is fine. I mean, Morgan knows, I know, with the amount of time commitment, you know, I mean, it's become mm-hmm. multiple days
yeah.
per week, you well, know, all of a Saturday, you know, whatever, yeah. just to go up and just make sure shit's ready.
Right.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Just to get to the event.
Yeah.
just to
and,
get there.
And people aren't like, oh my God, thank you so much for washing that fire truck.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no, but that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
But then when you're actually putting it to work, then people are thankful. So that helps with that arena, I think. But that also makes me wonder. I mean, again, we have a shortage of volunteers. Why can't we get more people into
mm-hmm.
the local fire and rescue service or those kinds of things that are even more appreciated usually?
Well, is that a combination of like what Morgan's saying with time and what you're saying, like how the family dynamic plays into it? And so like you're trying to balance time, work, and then volunteer just keeps getting pushed off to the side.
Probably.
I think there's also a value proposition. We've contemplated yeah. this for a couple years, actually, of how to get, because I'm 41. I hate to say that on the air, but
you're younger than us.
Okay, so well, there you go.
I love the youth, and that includes probably that 20 to 30 year old career mm-hmm. person or farmer or develop, you know, the person kind of developing who they are. And I think there's a value proposition that what they're volunteering for has to provide some sort of value back in the same proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you guys talk about like appreciation, and whether it's compensation or appreciation or respect, it's mm-hmm. got to be one or a combination of the three. And so that's where we're, as a small community in Oakland, my wife and I are trying to be part of what we can be fully part of, and probably trying to back off what maybe we're not doing a very good job of.
Yeah. No, an example of that where Ben was talking about appreciation and was it worth it, you know? So Lynch just had their summer festival, and the parade wraps up with the fire department getting into a water fight with the volunteer lifeguards.
Nice.
That's a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. The fire department always wins.
Of course, yeah. We got bigger hoses.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun, and all the kids come running out, and they get hosed down too, and they're hurling water balloons back at the firemen, you know. But just the joy that it brings everybody watching that, and all the kids running out there, you know, getting sprayed and everything. Mm-hmm. That alone, I think, fits that value. Like, okay, that was worth it. That was worth our time, you know, getting the trucks out, washing them down, filling up the tanks, and then, you know, using all this time for that. But that seems easy. Like, that value should always be there. Maybe where's it going?
You know? I also think, too, thinking most of us are thinking rural, or it feels like the conversations around somewhat rural America, there used to be a family on every quarter. So you had so many more options of people to volunteer. Now you've got the same people that were doing it 40 years ago that are still on their same quarter. But the other three quarters no longer have somebody living there. And I think that's what I see in rural America, is there's just not the people.
The population's shrinking in those certain areas.
I don't know what Omaha would say on this conversation. They may have plenty of volunteers.
Well, and don't you... Oh, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say to Andy's point, and maybe that's a good point that I hadn't really thought about, where a lot of this is getting so much more formalized. So you were talking about, like, where the folks were able to go out and just have fun and just throw water at each other and throw caution to the wind, just have a good time.
You guys need to do that in your team.
Yeah, no, for sure. But you run into all this formalized BS where it's well, we can't do that because of this, and someone might get mad about this, and
someone's
going
to
get hurt. See,
this is what I'm saying. So maybe that
sucks the fun out of it, sucks the value out of it.
That might be something that you just brought up right there, where it's like, so then the mentality of the volunteer is like, dude, I'm out here to help the community. I'm out here to have fun. I'm out here to work with whatever this organization is, whether it's sports or it's rescue or whatever the thing is. And I'm so hamstrung by all these stupid rules that why am I out here doing this anyway?
Yeah.
Like, let someone go get paid for it. You know, like, maybe there's that kind of mentality too.
Right. There has to be a component of that, right?
Well, and I would say you hit a pet peeve of mine. Mm-hmm. I've been fortunate enough to be on a few different boards early in my life, probably in my 20 to 30. I think at one point I was on five different boards, one being state, and then early 30s into even a national board. And what I found was the people would blame the bylaws of why they couldn't do something valuable. And so that's like a trigger word for me when I hear that, oh, we can't do that. It's like, really? Because there's a committee right here that could change that today. All we have to do is make a rule. We don't even have to formalize it most of the time. We could just do it. And probably the other thing, everybody blames liability. A topic for another time. I've lived through some very detrimental situations in terms of liability. We had an employee die on our farm probably 10 years ago. Not a lot of people know that, but there were certain implications beyond that we learned. And a lot of times what people fear in liability isn't what the reality is of what happens. And so I think once you overcome that, you can change bylaws. You can do a lot more of these types of things that happen in Lynch, where you can actually have some fun. And probably any feedback I've gotten on any organization I've been part of, people want to you'll hear older people in these communities talk about, well, we used to have way more fun than these kids are having. Like, parents our age, apparently we're not having enough fun compared to our 80-year-old counterparts.
Sure.
I mean, they talk about things that they did at our age, and it's like, we would never think of doing that.
Oh, I know.
Unless you're in Lynch, Nebraska.
Yeah, we still get away with it.
Well, like you said, I mean, everyone is worried about that liability and that potential litigation and all the things that come along with it. So
it goes along with I was listening to an interview where any topic you bring up, the common response, whether you're at the bar, at the coffee shop, whatever, is, well, yeah, but this happened at so-and-so time. Mm-hmm. They bring out the one in a million. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So your story is, well, yeah, but at a parade in St. Louis, a kid got squirted by a hose and he died.
Right.
And they got sued for $10 million.
Yeah.
And my first thought is, well, Boyd County doesn't have $10 million, so good luck with that.
Try to sue us for that in Boyd County.
But, you know, but at some point that can't be your defense as well. We're broke, so you can't sue us.
Yeah.
But it does go along with this psyche where we just we automatically go to the worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And liability is kind of at the forefront of that. It's like, well, yep, don't even think about doing that nowadays.
Yeah, and I think that is a big part of the volunteerism that people are just kind of running through in their mind. Like, is the intrinsic benefit that I'm going to get from being a volunteer to this worth the potential risk?
Yeah.
Or the anger that gets thrown my way or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think people think of it that way, but you do hear it all the time. Oh, it's not even worth it. Not even worth it.
Yeah.
You know, well, okay, what do you actually mean by that? And then maybe that's where this is going.
And I feel like the whole fun piece has got to be there. I mean, if you don't have an interest in it, like, I'm not going to go ump a baseball game. One, I don't even know the rules, and I call them refs.
You need to know that.
Okay, yeah. So, like, I'm probably not going to do that.
I hope you're not umping Andy's kid.
But, I mean, you should have some interest in it. You know, I'm probably not going to be part of the FFA. I didn't grow up doing that.
Right.
But you want me to ref some volleyball? Down with that. Going to help out track. You know, there's got to be some interest that you enjoy while you're doing it. Otherwise, like you said, like, get out of here. Like, this doesn't even make sense. So, but you got to find all these people that are interested in different things to keep the wheels turning.
Yeah. And some things are going away. Like, you know, maybe like home and boat shows expos aren't as big a thing as what they once were. And it takes a lot of volunteers to get some of those done.
But I feel like, where is the line? Let's talk about people getting paid and what's volunteer. I mean, you know what I mean? How do you decide?
I want to jump in here just because, so from my financial background and my accounting mind, I do put a lot of value on everything. Okay. So, like, when I'm analyzing a situation of, like, do I volunteer or not? I know this sounds really bad. Just, you know,
hey, at least you're being honest.
I put a value to everything. And this kind of goes back to my farm transition and estate planning stuff. If you value everything and you monetize it, nobody should ever be upset, in my analytical view. Now, I know that that's not quite right, because I know there's emotion and stuff that goes into things, and I've been through some of that emotional stuff too. But if you monetize it, at least you kind of know what you're giving up versus what your reward is. And so far as I'm trying to start an initiative even within our church, similar to like what Goodwill does, and not knowing exactly how Goodwill does this, but if you want to volunteer to the, let's say you belong to a church and you want to give, but maybe right now in life you cannot quite give what you want, but maybe you have a service or a value that you can provide to the church. Let's say you're a good plumber. And so you could come to the church and say, hey, I want to do the church's plumbing and cleaning. And so, you know, analytical Kyle puts a value on that, and we could actually write you a receipt that shows what you gave to the church. Mm-hmm. So you're twofold. You're giving and volunteering. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a thing that we haven't really unrolled yet in this situation, but we're close to that. And I'm excited for that, because it kind of monetizes everything, and they feel valued.
Yeah.
And they are truly volunteering, but they're also providing their giving that they want to do.
And so, if you put that in a flyer or a bulletin and let people see that, oh my God, at $20 an hour and he did all this work.
And we can do it discreetly too. We don't have to advertise it. I mean, nobody has to know, you know, what the values were, unless unless there was some transparency board that would want everybody to know. But in that type of situation, there might be people that don't want that out there.
Of course.
Well, we wanted to give but couldn't, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting way of looking at it. When you first started there and you said something like, you know, if you don't put a value on everything, and then you were kind of going down that road, I didn't know what you were going to say. Excuse me. But what I was thinking to myself, because I think you and I are on kind of the opposite ends of the spectrum as far as money and value goes.
Right. I remember that from the last podcast. Yeah.
Remember, Ben hates money.
Yes. Like,
so the first, Kyle loves money.
The first
thing. The worst snakes in the church right there.
The top of the list.
So the first thing that I think of when you say that is like, okay, well, what if you don't put a value on anything in terms of money? Not that it's not valuable, because everything's valuable for one reason or another. But if you don't look at it as the value of the dollars that it's worth or whatever that it brings,
yeah,
what kind of mentality does that bring? And I don't know the answer to that, but that's the first thing that I was thinking when you said that. And I think both of them make sense. And I think that it is smart to do something like that with an organization to not only encourage people to help, but also, more importantly to me and what you were explaining right there, it gives that individual a kind of that mental gratification of, yes, like you said, I can't throw $100 in the basket every week, but I can do this. And they're telling me that this is what this is worth.
And they're contributing. That's their way of contributing.
I think as a human nature, we all want to contribute and be part of something.
Yeah. Agree.
And so I love that analogy. I think that was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like sometimes if we go back to the sports, I do feel like a lot of those umps definitely need to get paid, and refs, and you know, all that stuff.
I think a lot of them that we work with, or like when we see around here, I think they do all get paid, but they don't get paid a lot, and they certainly don't get paid enough to get hollered at by a bunch of pissy parents.
Well, and I don't think a lot.
Been the pissy parent,
dude? For me personally, honestly, and Morton could say, you could call me out if I have, but I
don't think he has. I probably have.
I don't think I ever have. I catch myself.
Oh, I definitely have.
I probably have. And but then I'm the first one at the end of the game to be like, you know, thank you so much.
Yeah,
you are terrible, but I'm so glad you're here. I wouldn't say it like that.
But I definitely feel like I always go back to, I mean, a ref, God, that was, you know, the kids will be like, that was a horrible ref. And, you know, empathy, agree with them. But like, hey, there were other things that you also could have done. Like, let's not forget that blah, blah, blah happened.
Definitely.
Too,
and a couple of pieces there. One, to kind of put this into perspective. Yesterday, we went to the College World Series game yesterday. Mm-hmm. Two kids sitting next to us. How old do you think those boys were?
Oh, I think they were probably 8.
Yeah.
Good kids. Yeah.
Loving baseball. Couldn't wait to be there. Were so jacked about it.
Yeah.
You should have heard the amount of hollering they were doing at the home plate umpire.
Totally.
And obviously the umpire doesn't hear them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
their parents are like 3 seats away, so
and
their
they're
parents
just like,
didn't hear them
are
either.
You kidding me? How did you miss that? You know, like, these kids are going.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, you didn't just like
learn that,
figure out how to talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
You've been hearing this.
Yep.
So I'm not talking trash about their parents. I'm just saying, like, in general, for whatever crowd that they've been around, which is most.
Oh, yeah.
Most sports crowds. Someone's saying something.
So, we struggle a little. I'll hear that from our kids sometimes, and I question that on ourselves, because I'm like, gosh, have we been? Because I'm like, where is that coming from? Is it coming from other parents? Is it coming from us at home? And they're, because I always tell them, like, hey, if the ref called it, that's the fact. That's what happened, you know?
Yep.
But I think it's from, like, the stuff they watch, too. Like, our son, he's
the
13. The YouTube. They'll watch something. They'll be like, come on, man. Are you serious?
Bruh.
Like,
bruh.
You know?
So, do we just... I mean, we literally just have all of ourselves to blame for this. Like, is this what we're creating?
I have two roads on this, and I think just the environment that I grew up in, and it basically, as you say, brah, it makes me think of a South Park episode. We basically grew up
in
South Park.
See, we started it 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. We are basically South Park, where everybody you know everybody knows you, you know, by first name basis. And my dad was always an umpire, baseball umpire. Yeah, he has his 25-year plaque in basketball and football. So, but I can remember just being really little and going to baseball games. And, man, like you said, 8-year-olds were razzing him. Just let him have it. And then parents would let him have it. Then I would watch the coaches yell. I'm like, whoa, you can't yell at dad. You know. And then after the game, I would be driving home. And he'd be laughing about it. Like, yeah, well, so-and-so, he gets riled up. I'm like, but you guys are buddies. Why would he yell at you? You know? And he's like, oh, forget the buddy thing. One pitch. They can be your friend the whole game. One pitch changes that. So if you have that perspective. And also, I think it's fun. I remember the first time I went to a hockey game, Lincoln Stars. I've never been to a hockey game, so it was totally new to me. And just how horrible they are to the other team, to the umpire, to the, I don't, what do you call them in hockey?
That's hockey. Umpires?
But yeah, but it's that's referee, hockey. Right? Yeah, referee.
But I think it's like it's known in hockey.
But so it was the first
it's
time
like a three-man sport. The refs, yeah. The two teams, they're all totally. Against each other,
right? And the these little kids, I just remember them dropping F-bombs and pulling out the newspaper and turning around. And,
oh,
I mean, it was funnier than all get out. And I'm like, yeah, screw those guys. You know, I don't care.
I think that's a good point. I think there is some fun to be had between the officials and the
and if you're an official, crowd, if you're an umpire, yeah. if you volunteered for it, grow up. Get ready for it yeah. on a certain level, right?
Yeah.
On a certain level. I mean, it should be a little part of the game.
I want to take a little pressure off of our demographic and our generation. I witnessed a Boyd County school board meeting probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
And you'll appreciate this one. This was kind of during the consolidation stuff that happens. It's happened across all of rural America,
yes.
rural Nebraska, just budget cuts and consolidations and all these things. And I was on a local implement board, and the now retired manager, and the room was full, and the front was full of volunteers. The school board, I think, is mostly volunteer. They might get a stipend for different things, but mostly volunteer,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a contentious meeting, so there was a lot of people there. A lot of people were volunteering their time to come to this meeting to see the direction of Boyd County Schools. And I'm standing in the back just wanting to see a good meeting, a good direction, wanting everyone to be at peace. I'm probably 30. And there's an 80-year-old standing right next to me, and he starts chanting, fight, fight, fight.
Stop.
Like, there was like no, something you should, contentious there's, said. There was something contentious said up front in the board. And I'm like... I was embarrassed for him.
I bet.
He had no embarrassment.
No.
And I was just like, it was an awakening moment for me. Like, so we can't be too hard on ourselves as a culture. Some of this stuff has been going on for 2,000 plus years.
A lot of it is human nature.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sure. Yeah. And that's what I was getting at with, like, grow up. Like, of course, we're looking to blame somebody for our kid losing. It's got to be the ref.
Well, right.
You know, like, everyone's got to understand that.
The other
you know?
Side of that, you probably remember he was like a gym coach or whatever, but example, there's a basketball ref everybody loves. Guy, I would call pretty even games,
mm-hmm.
but he is interactive with the parents. Like something, he'll say something to him. At that point, like you don't say anything rude to this ref because he's mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah.
And he's a good older guy. I mean, you're
basically a psychology major.
I don't know. Yeah, he does one over on the whole crowd, and it's both audiences.
He's one of those guys. Like,
he's a good.
And we'll probably have him on the podcast. My dad knows who he is, so I got his phone number because I wanted to have because he's a career referee.
Is he from out in central Nebraska?
You probably will have had
over
him.
Here somewhere.
Okay. Breathwich retired.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, out of Northport.
He's so good at just.
Yeah. Either way, the dude is good at just like commanding the room,
totally,
and taking control of the area.
Yeah,
and folks just know like he's in charge.
Yeah,
like they figured it out real early. That dude's in charge.
And on the basketball court, that's another part where I was, you know, I threw a lot in there when I said grow up. If you're on a basketball team and this other team has gotten 5 or 6 fouls in a row and their coach is going crazy, you got to be prepared that the next foul is probably going to be on us.
Yeah.
Okay, you just you got to have that mental
human nature. Humans.
Yes,
and understand the flow of the game. Understand what's happening. Get outside of yourself. Understand
read
the game.
Read the room a little.
Read the room. Yes.
And like, to your point, that's one of the other points that I've made in previous podcasts that I think you're right on is that the officials have so much to do with the game. I hate the fact that sports are moving down this road where the officials are getting less and less influential on the game. That's part of the game.
Yeah.
Let those dudes and those ladies do their thing. If they make a bad call, they made a bad call. Sorry. Yeah. Wasn't there one earlier in the College World Series? I think it was a Tennessee game where they called, there was something. I don't know if you remember this or not. It was a big deal.
They went back to the replay?
Yeah. What? Yeah. And they were just like, oh, that dude clearly was not out or whatever, and they called him out or vice versa or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like, dude, just let the guys do their thing. Let them do their thing. That's part of the game. That's the way this has always been.
Yeah.
And as a player, early in the game, it's your responsibility to figure out how
yep.
what that dude or that lady's mentality is.
Mm-hmm.
Where's their hot buttons? Where are they? Are they going to call more or less?
Yeah.
What's their strike zone? If we're talking about baseball, what's their strike zone like?
Yeah.
If we're talking about basketball, how willing are they letting mm-hmm. you be physical?
But I've told our son that. Yeah, like you will know a ref in the first 2 minutes. Are they calling fouls constantly, or are they going to let you play? Then you can rough up.
Yeah.
Like,
and you got to dial that in. That's got to be a part of your game.
It's tricky,
kids have
though.
To understand, like, this yeah. is not everything is black and white.
Yeah, I know. I like it. I
think
the
it's
mental,
good for the kids to know.
Yeah. It's great huge. Mental gymnastics for them.
Yeah.
I can remember thinking, all right, I need to butter up to the ref, you know, because and then the first three fouls of the game would be on me. I'm like, well, that didn't work.
Yeah. You know? So, when we played, I grew up mostly playing soccer. I played soccer and baseball, but then I took soccer in high school. So that was what we mostly ran with. Mm-hmm. And same thing, like you said right there, if I was passing the ref on the field,
mm-hmm.
I was chatting it up with them,
yeah.
you know, talking about this, talking about that, just kind of getting on their good side.
Right.
And that way I was just hoping I would get that yeah. call I would need in that scenario.
But that doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work.
I wish I would have known that earlier.
That's part of the game, man.
You're right.
Like, and you is know? That not real life? I mean, that's a part exactly. of the game, who you it know is. Outside yeah. of sports. I mean, mm-hmm. for work, anything. I mean, that's mm-hmm.
very true.
Yeah. So.
So our kids are doing a 3-on-3 thing in Fremont every Friday. We go there. They're actually just the one boy twin. And so I've coached them on how to play each. There's four courts, and each court has the same refs every week. And so we've dialed it in on, okay, court one, you can get away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
Court four, you got to back way off and just stay in front of them and hands
yep.
up.
Keep your hands
and,
up. Yep.
yep. And mm-hmm. so it's interesting. They've started to figure out how mm-hmm. to play.
Ah.
Nice. According to the way that it's ref too.
Yeah.
That's part of the game, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, people need to realize that is, like you said, that's the third team. Yeah.
It's
almost.
Okay. And it's okay to have that.
It is,
I mean,
okay.
they're humans. And, you know, they're not robots.
And the kids, the players and the parents, when
not
they
yet,
go from
anyway.
Court four to court one, yeah. where everything's being allowed over here and it's not over here, don't be yelling at that guy expecting right. him to expecting him to ref
exactly.
like that guy. Just know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
move on.
Yeah. It all ties back into that, why people aren't signing up for things or doing
yeah.
things, you know, but I'll go back to it, grow up. you yeah. know, like I really yeah. feel like on both sides, you know, if you're signing up to volunteer, get ready to not be appreciated. You know, well, I mean, you
yep.
signed up for it. Mm-hmm. Be all in, right? Like you said,
don't,
I love
think,
that.
I think
be
what,
in
it,
be, or be all
what
out.
It begins with is don't sign up wanting to be appreciated.
Mm.
Like, do it. Do
yeah,
it,
that's why you're volunteering, right?
Do it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You're volunteering because you know there's a need
mm-hmm.
and it's going to do something for you
yeah.
intrinsically. Just do it for those reasons. Don't
yeah.
don't expect that you're going to be a hero, that everyone's going to love you, that everyone's
yeah.
going to thank you. Because that's not what volunteerism is about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's about you doing this because you know this is the right thing to do, period.
I like that.
There's right? a need, and you're filling it,
yeah.
and you're committed to doing
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. What I've said to a lot of folks, and I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget about it, but my mentality is, when it comes to volunteerism or just anything in general, is that if you can, then you should. So mm-hmm. if you personally can do this, then you should do it.
I like yeah. that.
I like that too. And what I was thinking of, pay your dues. Like, for me, when I was umpiring, you know, when I was a teenager, umpiring the t-shirt and t-ball games, like, people in front of you did that. Now it's mm-hmm. your turn. Now mm-hmm. you got to do it, you know. And
yeah.
it's hot out, and parents suck, the kids suck. It's a boring game, but, you know,
yeah.
pay your dues, be the umpire, yeah. put up with it, you know.
Right.
So that was a young age. That just brought up a point to me, like, that I never really thought about. If one day Joel wanted to be a ref, obviously there's ages or whatever, but
yeah.
would that be hard to tell your child to do that and then expect you're going to get parents to yell at you? I mean, I'm just thinking of all
it's
of it.
It's another lesson. Yeah.
It's a whole nother
yeah.
thing. Like,
yeah.
dude,
it
you're going to get yelled
careers,
at.
Though, too,
right.
If you're,
for sure.
You know, whether you're working.
Like, it could be a good thing.
Right.
I just
right.
was thinking, like,
good
wow, maybe we
build.
Should
let,
have.
Let me know what games
Joel
he's umpiring. I'll go. You'll get it.
And just razz him. But I think that first game, were you not shaking in your boots?
Oh, yeah.
When you were
Oh, yeah. Bumping? Yeah. And, like, I grew up in that world. You know, like, okay. I can remember
especially
going
with your dad doing it. But,
yeah.
Ooh, I'd be so nervous.
I was very nervous. But then you get into it, like everything, right? It's just like everything. And then you figure out your way and your strike zone or whatever the case may be.
Okay. Just brought up something in my head.
So, yeah, 100%. Like, I think people realize that we are super thankful for all these folks that are willing to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone listening all across small town America, big town America, whatever, everybody needs it.
Yep.
Get
out, volunteer.
In the spirit of volunteerism, what I wanted to close with, we haven't talked about the last couple episodes and we need to, is the 50-mile march. So Morgan's doing the 50-mile march, doing the fundraiser we've talked about in previous episodes. If you're on Instagram, if you go to the Common Folk Podcast Instagram page, the link in the bio, if you click on that, that's where you can donate if you want to.
You had to volunteer a lot of your time just putting that together. That was a nice write-up.
Oh.
Yeah.
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 Yes. That took a little bit, you know.
I could tell.
To write and figure out what, not my why, but, you know, a little bit about the whole organization itself. And then obviously the time that I'm putting in exercising and working out to be able to accomplish this in August. So all the support for.
And I'll be waiting for you at the brewery. I'm taking time out of my day to go to the brewery earlier than I usually am there. You know.
So. Yeah. Right.
earlier.
That's volunteering. Sounds like a volunteering job to me.
Yeah.
You need help with that?
We could probably use some more.
So you're doing that. You have to raise $2,500 for the organization, and the walk is coming up. It's a 50-mile walk. Where are you at right now?
God, I think we're getting close to 2,000. Maybe we're 18, 19. Okay. I should pull it up right now. But I've had a couple people that I get an email from than when they donate, and it's names a couple people that I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm.
That's cool. That's
awesome.
I hope. I'm sure it's.
Are you aware of this organization, Kyle?
I was just gonna see if you guys could talk a little more simple about it, so I understand it, because I've heard it last podcast. I think we touched on it in a little bit here.
50-mile march.
Yeah.
They're raising money.
Money for veterans that are struggling with, just mental.
It's primarily homelessness and mental disability that's resulting in homelessness.
Right. Okay.
So this particular organization has been around kind of the Omaha area for a few years now.
Yeah, not long.
And they're really just building. So really, they're still kind of in their infancy, but they've been saving up a ton of money. They do this walk every year, and they are planning on building a facility that is going to have a bunch of tiny houses. And
it's like a campus,
gardens,
like a farming area,
community center, like all the different things that they'll be able to bring these individuals to for a number of months to kind of help just get them on their feet, get them some purpose, get them rolling. So they're needing to raise a ton of money.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they're building from the ground up. I think they already got the land kind of picked out.
That's from the sounds of it,
So
It's I think they keep saying 10 to 12 acres or something like that. So, I mean, this is something that I have heard that they do right now in Kansas City, I believe. There's a organization, I'm not sure, but that they're kind of mocking it off of, which is kind of cool that it's actually
been done.
Mm-hmm.
Works.
You know, they may be tweaking, I'm assuming, some things, but bringing it here to Omaha because there are definitely a ton of veterans in need.
So where specifically do we give to this?
So if you go to, you can go to 50 Mile March.
Well, best place to go for us is what I was talking about earlier. If you go to Instagram and you go to the Common Folk Podcast page, the link in the bio, if you click on the link in the bio, it'll go directly to Team Common Folk, which is the 50 Mile March.
Can you put it in the show notes, though, Andy?
Andy's one too? Done that as well before, so do that in that one.
So at least then
it'll be that direct link. You can go there. You can donate $5, $10, whatever. Anything. Morgan and every walker is required to raise $2,500, which is awesome. And there's only up to 150 people being allowed.
Yeah, they don't just let anyone do it either.
So
I had to qualify, and
we're hoping to blow that out of the water. I mean, we'll see what happens, but it's going to be a big event. It's going to be a big effort. It's going to be full 22 hours of walking minimum.
Yeah, yeah, from Lincoln to Omaha.
That's big.
Starting at the Capitol.
Wow. And, yeah. Andy and I are going to be waiting at the finish line with the beers.
Yep.
We're going to be ready.
We end at Nebraska Brewing. They're a big business that is a huge supporter. So at the end is a big after party, which we're definitely going to need to party. I mean, I'm going to be tired, but.
Hey, they got that lemon Radler. It's kind of like a summery beer.
Give me
beer.
One of those.
Yeah, you'd be awesome, right. Dude.
I'm going to be ready to go.
I know their menu pretty well, so.
But we appreciate everybody's support on that. We might do, I got to get that going this week, too. We might do a fundraiser on the Farm Focus page, too, for July 4th, surrounding that. But either way, this is the deal right now, so we need to keep that rolling.
There we go.
And there it is. It's volunteerism at its finest, right?
It is. It is.
Yep.
And the Vols play tonight. Is that coincidental?
Oh, they're the Volunteers also.
Oh, my gosh. Rocky come top. On.
Drop the mic.
That is true.
Let's just end it on that. They better win.
I like it.
All right, cool. Well, Kyle, thanks for coming, man. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Good to see you all again.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
Take that sweet koozie home with you.
Perfect.
Yeah, buddy.
It won't fit in any of my cup holders, but we'll go with it.
go fishing.
It'll fit on my fishing boat.
There you go.
Yep. All right. Anything else? No.
Sounds good.
All right. Later.